Hey, this is Cam Fancourt, and welcome to the Resilience Entrepreneur Podcast, where we talk everything from business, financial freedom, and emotional and mental resilience. We share real-life stories and practical tips and ideas you can use in your business and daily lives. So today's topic, I'm going to talk on faulty beliefs of our family, and I've got my partner Kay here with me today.
Hi.
And look, one of the things that we both talked about on numerous of our casual conversations is how we've both been so conditioned by our family values, and they haven't necessarily been good for us in many ways. And I think we've come to realize that we were living our life so much through the eyes of everybody else's beliefs and their values and their morals. So I have Kay with me today so that we can sort of chat a little bit about that and get a better understanding of, I guess, where both of us have come from and how hopefully from what we discussed today might help with a little bit of direction. So Kay, one of the things for you, I mean, like how did the family belief system impact you?
Well, I think that like growing up as any child would, you just learn what your parents and anyone around you tells you. So
yeah.
For me, I guess the biggest thing that affected me was when I got into a relationship and I started to realize that my parents' relationship wasn't actually normal at all. And I think that's where it really started to affect me, because I started to realize that I actually had no idea whatsoever what a normal relationship was. And so I had to almost relearn.
Yeah, I remember having the same sort of thing happen, like with me. It was like I was supposed to conform and be a certain way in my relationship, and I had to, you know, buy a house and have a good job and have a good education and save for my retirement. And, you know, there was a certain way in which it was expected to be done, because that's what I was, you know, brought up believing. My parents were like that. So you're sort of saying a little bit similar for you, yeah?
Well, actually, even more detailed than that, my parents showed each other zero affection. So for me, it was even so much as learning to actually be affectionate towards someone or tell them that, you know, you look good today, and something like even just complimenting someone, like growing up, friends and that sort of thing. I probably very rarely complimented anyone because it just wasn't a norm for me.
So it was just uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was uncomfortable. It wasn't something I was taught. It just wasn't normal. So
did you ever question those sort of beliefs or that sort of upbringing at all?
No, I did not question it because I thought what I knew was normal. So even something as small as my mum's friend greeting me by kissing me on the cheek, I was like, why is this person touching me? Like, what? Get away from me,
sort of thing.
Yeah, it was unusual, it was uncomfortable, and it just wasn't normal.
Yeah, I get that.
So that was really weird for me. And actually, even before getting into a relationship, one thing I remember is going into high school. So it's not really something that you had to deal with in primary school, but going into an all-girls high school, I remember my orientation. I saw girls kissing each other on the cheek, saying hi. And I just thought,
what is that?
Are they lesbians? Because I didn't think that was normal. So
but it wasn't necessarily that when you actually, you know, realize that that's the sort of dumb thing.
Everyone did it. I realized that actually it was normal and affection was a normal thing. And I was actually the weird one that didn't know that, not supposed to do that, but that was a done thing.
Yeah. Well, I guess from my upbringing, we were very affectionate and giving, you know, people a hug and a kiss every time you saw them was the done thing. And even like, you know, when we had family friends that had come over that were, you know, close family friends that were male, we would always give them a bit of a hug, or, you know, I always was brought up to give my dad a hug and a kiss on the cheek. And I guess for us, that was normal. You know, we were used to greeting people like that. So in me going and having, you know, friendships, relationships, or whatever it is with people, even for the first time, they might have been a little bit weirded out, because I'd sort of go straight up and, you know, go in for the kill, you know, I'd sort of give them a kiss on the cheek.
But even when we worked together, I think the first time I actually turned up at the office, you actually kissed me on the cheek. And I was like, come on, dude, this is a professional environment. Like, why are you kissing me on the cheek?
And probably because I am used to working in that real, you know, open, comfortable, you know, laid back sort of environment. And my business has always been operated like my family. So anyone that works for me has always been part of that family. So it was probably just the normal thing for me. But I can understand how, for somebody who's been brought up a certain way, where you're really like, what the hell is that? Don't kiss me, don't touch me. Or what are they doing? That's really, you know, freaking weird.
Mm.
I can understand like how that would be challenging. But yeah, I guess we've all got these quirky things. And I know for myself that, you know, some of the beliefs of my family, other than just, you know, going and getting a good job and saving for retirement and, you know, keeping with the one job as long as you can and buying the house and all that sort of stuff. The white picket fence.
Australian dream.
The good old Australian dream was that I realized that I didn't really, I didn't want to conform with that. I didn't fit into that. You know, I was very much, you know, flamboyant spendthrift in my early 20s, and you know, much to my parents' dislike, I had a completely different way of valuing money and a completely different mindset on money. So I was an absolute brain explosion for them every time I was, you know, going out and buying a new car or buying new clothes or going on nice holidays or new furniture. You know, there was always this sort of, you know, barrier where I was trying to be my own individual, but I was also then being you know, questioned or looked upon, and that unfortunately creates, you know, a lot of issues for us, and you know, the shame and so forth. And that'll be obviously another topic that we'll talk about, you know, down the track. But you know, for me, it was breaking out of those mindsets, and there's a multiple of them. But realizing that I wasn't going to live by my family's belief system, and that I wanted to be my own individual, and it's taken me a very long time to get to that place where I can actually break that mindset. So I mean, for you, like, how did you get out of that mindset for yourself? Like, where was it? What was the sort of breaking point for you where you realized that this wasn't right for you?
Well, the one thing that comes to mind, again, this is why I started with like my first relationship, was obviously when you're in a relationship, that person seeks affection, and that's both emotionally and physically from you. And I guess it sort of just happened. Like, I was incredibly awkward, and there were a few awkward hugs and I avoided any sort of affection as much as I could, but I guess in the back of my mind, I sort of knew I wasn't actually going to be able to have a relationship if I didn't break that sort of mold.
So it was really uncomfortable for you.
Oh, incredibly uncomfortable.
Like anxiety provoking almost?
Like my first relationship I got into because I didn't know how to say, no, I don't actually like you.
Okay, that's extreme. That's really extreme. So you just went, yeah, I'll just date you anyway because, well, you know, I don't know how to tell you. I don't actually really like you.
Yeah, because he actually said to me, like, this is another whole nother topic, but on saying, learning how to say no, but I did not know how to say no. Like, because, again, I didn't want any conflict or anything like that or awkward situations. So I remember this guy that I dated for 3 years because I didn't know how to say, no, I don't like you.
Poor guy, he's probably going to be like curling up in a ball when he hears this, and he's going to be saying like, thanks a lot, I thought you actually really liked me, but you actually really didn't.
Look, it wasn't all too bad, but yeah, like the initial stages, I had no intentions of getting into that relationship, but it was, this person kept trying to ask me out, and yeah, I did not know how to say no, so I ended up hanging out with this person, and then he said to me, like, I like you, and I did not know how to say, oh, I don't feel the same way.
And basically, I don't like you.
Well, not that. It was like, oh, I want to be your friend, not I want to be in a relationship with you. But when he said, I like you, because I didn't know how to react and I wasn't used to those situations, or even just expressing my emotions at all, I literally just said, oh, me too. And so started the 3-year relationship.
That's pretty awkward, yeah.
And
I would have created anxiety for you though, wouldn't it? Like, I would have been just constantly anxious.
Like, it was just incredibly uncomfortable and just out of the norm. And it was like, I don't know how to get myself out of this situation, so I guess I'm just going to have to roll with it. Yeah. So
I mean, I'm sure every person has a story. I mean, just hearing that from you, there's so many different stories coming up in my mind of things that I've heard other people sort of saying that they've done because of, you know, their beliefs, not only their family beliefs or their friends.
But it's
amazing,
right? Like, I was 17 at the time, and you just think that that's sort of stuff that I've learnt from back when I was a child, because that's all I ever knew. So
yeah, no, I mean, I talk to so many different people, not only like in a professional sense, but you know, on a personal level, where I'm hearing these stories and they won't get out of relationships because they believe they should be a certain way, or they keep running their business because of the same thing. And I've done that.
You've done that, right?
Because I've done it for years. I stayed in the same business for years because I thought, you know, I have to, you know, pay all this, you know, I have to pay this life for my family. I have to build my future, my wealth, and I've got to be a success. I've got to prove my worthiness to my family and my friends.
How did they instill that in you though? Like, did they constantly tell you these things? Like, how did it happen? Why did you think that that's how you had to live your life?
I think a lot of it happened by default, because my dad was one of those sort of guys who was very focused on, you know, staying in the one job and, you know, saving for his retirement and having, you know, properties and having, you know, something that was going to ensure that he was secure in his retirement. And I do remember in my sort of late teens into my early 20s, where, you know, my father in particular was sort of saying, you know, you've got to get a good job. You know, if you can get, you know, some sort of education or degree of some sort, that's even better, because you're going to be more employable. And I think then following on from that, I looked at him as a role model, because he was obviously doing the same thing. He stayed with the one organization for 35 years. But, you know, it was like this very structured, rigid pattern. And that was then obviously then being, you know, sort of, you know, put out to me and to the rest of our family that's the norm. So we sort of were role modeled on that, regardless of whether it was directly spoken about, but we were role modeled on that. And I think for me, I was stuck in that mindset for so long that I can't keep chopping and changing what I'm doing, and I have to stick to business and I have to stick to what I know, because if I don't and I lose everything, or if I don't have, you know, the house and the income in the future, then I'm literally a failure. And that was a huge one for me. And it took me, you know, 42 years of my life to start to wake up to that and go, hang on a sec, why am I doing
that
this?
That was going to be my next question. Do you remember a particular moment where, like, in your brain you just went, this isn't right, or I don't have to live my life the way they want me to live? Like, was there a particular moment that you remember where it was just like, I can't keep doing this?
I think as I got older, there were certain stages along the way where I was sort of like, no, that doesn't really fit with what I want to do, or that doesn't sound right to me. And I just always had this sort of heart-head disconnection from it. And I remember that I would get quite anxious with certain conversations, and I'd avoid the conversations. And then I started to become more aware of the avoidance and the, you know, the blocks that I was putting up all the time. So that was probably what really sort of stood out to me, was that, you know, there's something not feeling right here. And I think as I got older...
So was it like a gut instinct?
Yeah, it was more of a gut instinct, but I ignored the gut because, you know, as you know, I've been so in my head for so long, and, you know, I've had these, you know, really, you know, difficult times over the years with anxiety and stress and managing that. And I think for me, it's always been sort of avoiding what your gut's telling you and just listen to your head. But unfortunately for me, my head's got me into trouble so many times by going down a certain path and thinking that was the right way. But again, it was because that's all I understood. So I didn't know any different. So I do know that, you know, there's going to be so many people out there with a different story, whether it's on career, relationships, friendships, you know, how they should save, where they should go on holidays. There's all these external influences that influences people. But, you know, the family belief system is certainly the strongest, because that's obviously what drives us.
I think you'll find that most people would relate, because anything we learn, we all seem to learn or be affected by our childhood. So whatever we get taught as children, some people don't actually figure it out when they get older, because
definitely.
I guess they have their parents almost running their lives.
Yeah, but they might not even realize they're doing it. You know, their parents are doing it.
They don't know that that's the norm. Like, it's almost a subconscious
thing. Well, they talk, you know, in a way that you hear that same thing over and over and over. How many times? It's almost like that self-fulfilling prophecy that you hear the same thing every day, week in, week out, for, you know, 40 years of your life. You go, well, that must be right. Even though if you're seeing there's other things out there that are giving you the signals that it's not right. So, you know, and this is the big thing. I mean, obviously, you know, there's huge emotional impacts with, you know, some of these belief systems. And, you know, hearing your story, like, you must have some, you know, big, you know, emotional impacts. Like, were there some that sort of stand out? On what was the biggest sort of emotional impact for you with your family's belief system?
Probably just the whole not showing any emotion, really. Like, we were we were told growing up, like, if you cried, stop crying. You, like, we don't, us Heckenbergs don't cry. So for me, like, not being able to even to learn about my feelings, for starters, to know what certain feelings were, to not be able to be validated if I cry or if I feel upset.
That would have been really hard.
Well, I didn't know it at the time. I just thought...
But looking back at it now, you must think like you were suppressing so much.
I didn't realize how much I was suppressing and how... And I actually, in high school, it started to come out as almost arrogance because I just thought...
So you were angry then with those
things. I wasn't angry, but I genuinely believe, like, people who went to high school, I reckon I said this to a few people, I don't have feelings. So I don't have to worry. So
yeah, because you buried them so far down.
Yeah, I didn't realize, but I was suppressing all these feelings, and I thought that I was invincible and that nothing affected me because that's I guess that was my coping mechanism. So I guess the major impact it had was, again, this relationship obviously was like, it opened Pandora's box. Like, it really brought a lot of problems and issues to the surface. Like, I started to... Like, I guess that's when I fell into depression because of that relationship, because I didn't know how to process any of my feelings. I didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah, that's hard. That's really hard. And I relate to that because I did the same thing with anxiety, and I'd get really sort of angry. I'd get irritated, and it was sort of like I'd be lashing out at everybody, but the lashing out was frustration. And then frustration was frustration because either the other person wasn't hearing me or they weren't getting me. And I was constantly trying to express to them like how I was feeling. So I understand how you suppressing that brings up depression.
Yeah, I think we both can understand that because we both would have had several times in our life that we'd not been able to express our emotions properly because growing up we weren't able to. Like,
well, that's
we
why
weren't
we're
always
to- Yeah, well, that's why we're together. That's why it works well because, you know, you and I can talk in a way that, you know, nobody else seems to understand, which is great. And it's, you know, it's so awesome that we've managed to work out what works for us and how to communicate, because I think it's so important that if you can't communicate the way you're feeling or the way that you see, then you're just going to continue to bottle this stuff up and believe in then, you know, not only the beliefs, but then that there's something wrong or there's something not right. And then if for that feeling to go away, you've got to start doing something to sort of go back into the old cycle to feel right again, which is really hard. So, and you know, I guess for you, like, being yourself and listening to your truth, like, you know, that's like, how did you find your truth and not live by your family's values? Like, how did you start to sort of just go, no more, enough's enough of that, like, I'm not listening to that anymore, it's not for me?
Well, that would have happened like quite early on, because I started to have a major relationship breakdown with my dad as I got to an age, and from what I can remember, it was 10, when I got to an age where I could understand that my dad was not treating my mum in a nice way. I think that's where I started to almost detach myself from that sort of belief system, because I became very angry with my dad. So
yeah, well, that's...
So I think at that point, but then getting older, like, yeah, sure, I had all these emotional issues and I was very angry and that sort of thing, but
yeah.
I had, I guess, decided in my head, like, I wasn't going to listen to my family anymore. So it was almost rebellion, but in a way it worked for me, because that's where I started to stop having that belief that I had to listen to my family.
Well, when you're 10, you can't really do that, right?
No, it didn't work in my favor at the 10 years old, but in my head,
yeah,
I think I had already figured it out that I was not going to let them... Like, we'll let their belief system, the way they live, be the way I have to live. And obviously, that was a very long journey.
Well, doing a lot of work on yourself too, obviously, not only just, you know, on your own, but with professional help and so forth. Like, you know, obviously, you've
well,
done the work.
Well, I didn't seek professional help until I was 18, 19. So I think in that period of time from like 10 to 19, that, like, the way I coped with it was through anger and putting other people down and all of these horrible things that were my coping mechanism.
Which is what happens to us, right?
Yeah, because you don't know any other way, so you just automatically do that. But yeah, definitely. Like, when it got to a point where I was no longer able to live, or like to get up daily and just live a normal-ish life, then I was like, okay, something needs to change. I need to go and get some sort of professional help.
And how many of like people that you and I both know, like we're surrounded by people now that because we've done so much work in this space and we understand a lot more about what's going on and we've made a lot of changes ourselves.
We're both the unqualified therapists.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I know. But because we've both done so much work over the years on ourselves to learn more about this stuff. And I know for me going through a breakdown, you know, 7-8 years ago that I've had to learn so much about what was driving those behaviors and what it was that was, you know, really not sitting well with me and learning about the relationships that were working and that weren't working and the ones that were toxic and not toxic and all of that stuff. But I think it's actually going through that and actually really sitting back going, hey, you know what, this is not me. So, you know, speaking to your truth is you know, really important. And I guess it's still easy for you to revert back to your old beliefs from time to time because, you know, as I was saying before, like people around us, I hear saying, I've had this, you know, revelation, I'm not going to be doing something a certain way anymore, and I've told my family this and I've told my friend that, and I'm walking away, but then 2 minutes later you see they're all back just doing the same thing again. And I think that is the very thing we're talking about. Like people just fall back into that so easily, don't they?
Oh, I mean, definitely. And I think we've experienced that quite a bit in our relationship too, like
yeah definitely
more so with your family beliefs that have been instilled in you, because obviously you've had them instilled quite a longer period of time than I have. So,
but very strong family values. So that's
insanely
why, yeah.
Strong, like to the point where like you'll tell me that like we've had umpteen arguments where I try and almost remind you, and sure, like when you're in a heated argument, it never gets communicated in the right way where the other person is going to interpret in the way that you want it to, and it's the intentions are there, but it obviously,
well, it's reactive to the other person,
exactly,
right? Because they're on
so
edge.
I know that in our relationship we've had many a times where that's actually come up, and so it's really interesting to just like reflect and again look back on how your childhood affects you. Like you're almost 44 and things that are instilled in you from the ages of like 0 to whenever you moved out of home.
Yeah, 18.
Like they still affect you to this day.
Well, it's because I have had input from family members and, you know, friends around me. They're very judgmental and very critical, that I've actually taken a lot of what they've said on board, but to the point that I've had a lot of self-doubt about the decisions that I've made. So then I've lost confidence, and then the loss of confidence goes into...
So it's almost like you've been living
cycle.
Other people's... Living
I've living my life through other people.
Or like for other people. Like things you do have been done for other people because that's what they've been telling you to do.
Well, also because that's all they knew, but also, you know, they didn't want to be embarrassed by, you know, things that I had, you know, done or said or I was doing. So I was always trying to buffer, you know, other people's feelings all the time. But, you know, that got to the point where I was literally just putting out fires left, right and center, because it was like, well, I can't please you and I can't please you and I can't please you. So what is right and what's wrong? And, you know, I think, you know, at the end of the day, it is still very easy to fall back into that. You've only got to have, you know, one conversation like I did only recently with another family member that, you know, it was almost like it reopened it all for me, and I start questioning, you know, myself and start questioning what I'm doing. And it's like, why am I still doing this?
Those emotions that you had growing up as well.
Absolutely. And you get derailed and you're sort of like, hang on a sec. I was over here and I've been doing so well and now I'm back here. But it's like anything, you know, it's changing behaviors, changing an old habit. You've got to continually do it over and over and over and over and over. And even still, when times are tough, you know, you know that you easily fall back into what feels comfortable. It's ingrained in you. So yeah, 40 plus years of that for me is really hard. So, I mean, I guess, you know, what recommending to people that are obviously listening today, you know, that might be going through this and obviously question their own beliefs. I mean, what would you recommend? I know what I'd recommend. I've got a load of things I recommend, but you know, for you, like what would you recommend to anyone that is going through something that, you know, is very limiting, and it's, you know, they're being stuck in these faulty beliefs. They know they're not right, but they're just not doing anything about it. Like, what would you recommend?
That's an interesting one. What would I recommend?
Well, I know for me it would be, you know, like you've got to feel what is going on. Don't think what's going on. If you don't actually start feeling what's going on and start listening to your gut and start listening to your truth, then you're never going to live your true purpose.
Well, I was thinking that, like, obviously it's very easy to just say to someone and recommend trust your gut, but I'm thinking about someone who hasn't actually had any professional help and cannot distinguish between like mind and gut, because I know I've been there.
Mm.
And so I'm thinking, like, I guess it does come back to that though. Like, if it doesn't feel right, if you're questioning yourself, and if you feel that you'd like to do something else or try something else, even though your family or your friends or whoever it may be are judging you or trying to tell you otherwise, do it anyway, because at the end of the day, it's going to affect your life, not theirs. Like,
yeah, definitely.
You don't want to hold yourself back from doing what you'd like to do.
Yeah.
Just because of someone else's beliefs or anything like that.
And if people don't really know what to do, then obviously speak to people and you know, start listening to others that have been through something and learn from the people that have changed. Or even
just reach out to friends, because I guarantee you talk to one friend and that friend's going to go, oh my gosh, yeah, I totally relate. My family's nuts or whatever it happens to be. And yeah,
you've got friends you guys that are telling can help you something.
Each other overcome whatever barrier it is that is stopping you from doing what it is you want to do.
Yeah, no, it's so true. So true. So everyone, look, don't get stuck in listening to the beliefs of your family. You need to work out what is right for you and what you live for. You know, for Kay and I, we both lived for too long through the family belief system that we were both brought up with. And it's not to say that they're right or wrong, but they're right for those particular people, but they're not necessarily right for us. And our life in many ways has been limited by the fact that we've lived in those family values and that belief system for so long. But fortunately for us, we've actually realized that it's not for us and we don't want to live our life like that. And I think, you know, for us, it's a great freedom. And you know, I'm just so glad that we both have been able to work through that together as well as individually to get to the other side. So thanks for doing the session with me today, Kay. It's been really, really good. It's
been fun.
It's awesome. No, it has been fun and more to come, everyone. There's a lot more that Kay and I'll be speaking on, and we look forward to bringing you a lot more through our podcast. Thanks for listening today, and watch out for our next Resilience Entrepreneur podcast with many more great topics and interviews we can't wait to share with you. This is Cam Fanford, and until next time, bye for now.